In our last broadcast, we discussed with you the phrase 3 days, which was mentioned 4 different times in the command that Joshua gave to Israel in connection with occupying the land which God gave them. We looked with you at the numerical significance of that phrase, showing you that in the Word of God, consistently, it has a meaning which cannot be ignored. Time will not permit a review. Today, we said, we wanted to discuss with you the practical significance of the 3 days which were mentioned in the command. So will you notice with us, please, in our study of the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 11, these words, "Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you food, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." What was the purpose of this 3-day period? The purpose of this 3-day period was the completion of preparation to pass over Jordan. And will you notice that it was a very practical preparation that avoided presumption? You see, the children of Israel had been fed for 40 years with manna from heaven. All they had to do was to go out and pick it up. They didn't even have to go to the store and buy it. They didn't even have to worry about getting enough. As a matter of fact, they had to be careful they didn't overdo it, for what they gathered one day would be no good the next day. It was a day-by-day sustenance from God's hand to their mouth. Now they have this strange command, prepare. God, what do you want us to prepare? Get some food that will keep you and feed you while you journey. What about the manna, God? You've been giving that to us all this time. What's wrong with the manna? What's wrong with us? Have we displeased you in some way? Oh, no, says God. The only reason I gave you the manna in the wilderness was because there was no other way to meet your needs. But you are going into a land that flows with milk and honey. Prepare not so much for food, but containers which will hold the food, because I'm through providing it in a miraculous way. It took them a while to get used to the idea. And may I say that one of the problems that Christians face in practical application of truth is when God does meet their needs in a miraculous way, they assume that he is always going to do it. Get that fact fixed in your mind. God never works miraculously when he can work practically. Now get that fixed. He never works miraculously when he can work practically. The same God who told the Apostle Paul to emphasize to the Philippians that Christ was able to meet every need they had was the same God who said, "If a man does not work, neither shall he eat." You see, we could say, "Why, God has promised to meet all my needs. I don't need anything." Yes, you do. We'll not take time to amplify it. I think your intelligence is of such a caliber that you can make your application to your own heart. Why the 3 days? Because preparations may need to be made. Now wait just a minute. What was the most important thing to these Israelites? Put yourself in their place. 40 years they had wandered in the wilderness. 40 years they had heard talk about what was on the other side of Jordan. There they were, on the very verge of the Jordan, ready to go across. That Jordan didn't mean anything to them. True, there was no bridge, There were no boats, but they had crossed waters before which were uncrossable, so that didn't mean anything to them. There they were, ready to go across, and suddenly the commander-in-chief said, "We're not going to move another step. We're going to stay right here for 3 days." Have you ever had to wait? I suspect, ordinarily speaking, physically speaking, materially speaking, humanly speaking, the hardest thing in the world to do is to wait. At least it is for me. I'd rather get somewhere late than get there on time, because if I get there on time and the other folk don't, I'm in such an ugly mood that nobody gets any blessing. It's hard to wait. But what is difficult in an ordinary way is much more difficult spiritually. I ask a question to provoke your thinking today. Your heart is yielded to the Lord. You want the best He has for you. You know down deep inside that all you want is what He wants. And it looks like everything is going to be going along that way. Then suddenly, God brings everything to a standstill. And for reasons He has not explained to you, He says to wait 3 days. Hard to do, isn't it? Especially when there is every reason in the world to go on. Especially when the very practical mind that God has given you sees no real reason for waiting. Well, let me suggest to you, my friend, that instead of fretting about the waiting, you should use it profitably. Instead of fretting about the 3 days, make the preparations, for you must not presume on God. Sometimes the only way that God can eliminate presumption is to place the responsibility of preparation squarely upon you. There's something else to consider. There are more people than you involved in crossing the Jordans in your life. Do you realize that? Others are also involved. Oh, it's natural for us. Not because we're particularly selfish, but it's natural for us to think of ourselves, our own desires, our own wishes, our own plans, our own ambitions. But no man is an island. Even though God may be ready for you to cross the Jordan, if you were the only one involved, He could say, "Go ahead." But because others are involved, you have to wait until those needs are taken care of. There is a better, perhaps I should say, there is no better illustration of that fact than what is suggested in what I have termed a reconsideration to be given. Now, why do I use that term when I look at this passage of Scripture? Well, let's look at it together. Joshua chapter 1, verse 12. "And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribes of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, and all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as He hath given you. And they also will have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then shall ye return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you, this side of Jordan, toward the sun rising." I think that many times when we read this passage of Scripture, the emphasis is placed on the marvelous attitude of the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. You recall what happened in Numbers chapter 32. They had defeated some of the enemies in Canaan, had put them to rout, and here was their lovely land, their beautiful cities, unoccupied. The Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh got together and said, you know, it's a shame to leave all of this on this side of Jordan. Why don't we see if we can stay here? So they had a conference with Moses, made the suggestion, and Moses said, yes, you may stay. Now, wait just a moment. Are you thinking? Was the command to stay on this side of Jordan or go to the other side of Jordan? It was to go to the other side of Jordan, wasn't it? Does God ever change his command? No. But God never forces his commands. He said, the other side of Jordan is best, but if you want to stay on this side of Jordan, you may. However, you will have to go before your brethren and make sure that they are all settled in the land, and then you can come back over on this side of Jordan if you want to. Now, I wonder why God wanted these people of uncertain resolution to lead the children of Israel. It seemed like a poor choice. If you want someone to lead an army, you want someone that's willing to go all the way. Why? Why did he choose these folk? I'm going to suggest to you that the reason lay in the fact that God wanted them to have an opportunity to reconsider what they were losing. When they went to cross Jordan, when we're first to see God work in a marvelous way, there was a slight possibility that they would reconsider and go all the way with God. And I suggest to you that that's the reason sometimes a 3-day waiting period is necessary, a time for reconsideration to be given for those who are not ready to go all the way. I wonder today if I may be speaking to some dear folk who have faltered on the way. God has permitted a figurative 3-day waiting period in your life that you might reconsider even today and go all the way with God. Go all the way with Him. Let Him have His way.